Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The original Broadway smash, A Chorus Line, was the story of what drove the performers in the line, the dreams, the ambition, the high-wire terror of auditions. It had heartbreak and triumph and huge success. In 2006, it was revived after its 15-year original run. A new documentary, Every Little Step, follows the real story of winnowing down the 3,000 dancers who auditioned for that revival. This hour On Point, What It Takes, A Chorus Line, and Every Little Step. You can join the conversation. Performers, is this your story? The agony, the ecstasy, the auditions. What does it take to face the physical challenge and stunning odds in this world and keep going? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. We're joined this hour by the two men who co-directed and produced the new documentary, Every Little Step. From New York is James Stern. He's produced over 50 stage shows and feature films on and off the Great White Way, including The Producers, Hairspray, Stomp, and most recently, Will Ferrell's You're Welcome, America. Jim Stern, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be here.
And with us from Culver City, California, is Adam Del Deo, also a director and producer. He's collaborated with Jim on two other feature documentaries, So Goes the Nation and The Year of the Yao. He recently produced the feature films Solstice and Stay Alive. Adam Del Deo, welcome to On Point.
Thanks, Tom, for having me.
It's great to have you both. And I should say, we're going to be joined in a few minutes by Bjork Lee, actress, director, choreographer, who created the role of Connie in the original production of A Chorus Line. Your documentary opens with this, pretty early on, with this incredible scene back in 2005 of 3,000 dancers and singers in the streets of New York City lining up on a kind of a crummy day, umbrellas and all, to audition for the, what, dozen plus, 16, 17 roles that will be in the revival. It's kind of a cheeky thing to make a documentary about how dancers feel about getting into a chorus line, which is, of course, itself a musical about getting into the chorus line. Adam, where did you get the inspiration to sort of do this doppelganger documentary?
Well, when Jim had called me, he had spoken to John Braulio, the executive producer of our film and also the producer of the revival. That was really one of the first things that we talked about, was that organic mirror that was in place, that we had an opportunity to film thousands of dancers struggling in New York, trying to get a job on Broadway, and that Michael Bennett, 30 years earlier, had created a show about dancers in New York, examining their lives, trying to get a job on Broadway. So that kind of mirror was something that we thought would be very interesting to work with. We talked about Federico Fellini's film 8 and a Half, where he had done something not entirely dissimilar to that, and you know, we just thought it would be something really interesting to sink our teeth into.
I didn't know what to expect. I mean, it clearly worked as drama and has continued to for years in A Chorus Line, but it clearly works as documentary as well in Every Little Step. It's kind of remarkable. Here's a little sound from that very early stage of auditions. After those 3,000 have lined up, showed up to try out, there's a long line of auditioners being herded in to be sorted in groups. Here's a little sound from that kind of, almost mob scene.
What's going to happen when you go upstairs is we're going to go in groups of 10. We're going to do a double pirouette. All we're looking at right now is technique and type. And then you're going to stare, you're going to go. If you get kept, there's a lot more dancing to be done.
A Chorus Line made drama of it. Here's the real deal. And here's the sound, again, from Every Little Step, of some of the auditioners who came to that open call telling the filmmakers, the documentary makers, what they thought about the show itself, A Chorus Line.
A Chorus Line, I think, is every performer's story.
You understand them.
They're funny, they're real.
It's like the history of the dancer in theater.
A Chorus Line just stands for what classic Broadway is.
Stands for what classic Broadway is. It took us into lives in drama in the original and again in the documentary. Jim Stern, it works like crazy, but in a way, in concept, it's kind of cheeky. I mean, hadn't it already been done in the show itself?
Well, it's interesting.
In a way, yes. I mean, Michael Bennett himself always considered a Chorus Line a kind of documentary. So when John Braulio was reviving the show as a producer, he really thought that this is something that Michael would have wanted. So in a sense, the answer is yes. And, of course, the other answer is no, because you haven't seen anything like this before. So, you know, for us to have, you know, life imitating art, imitating life imitating art was, you know, quite, you know, a rich subject. You know, when I first got to New York and I was working as an assistant director, I remember I was working on a show, and it was an off-Broadway show. I was probably paying about $150 a week. Mm. And I got there, and there must have been 600 or 700 people waiting to audition. And I thought, oh, my God, what are all these people doing? Mm. And, you know, the thing about Broadway is it's really very much the same today as it was, you know, way back when and always has been.
It always will be, I guess. You have wonderful footage of Michael Bennett, the original director and choreographer. Many people will know this story kind of like sacred text of how Chorus Line came to be.
Yes,
but remind
absolutely.
Us, Jim, of the sort of what sort of group therapy sessions almost that he put on tape that turned how that worked, that turned into this original show.
Well, it was. You know, that's very right. I mean, it sort of was a kind of group therapy. I mean, a Chorus Line is the first confessional piece of commercial work. What happened was it was a snowy night in January and
1974.
Four, and people were out of work, and Broadway was in sort of disarray. I mean, it was a time period not unlike the one we have today. And Bennett collected 19 singers and dancers in a room at midnight and said, with massive jugs of wine perhaps a few other things that we won't speak about.
Right.
And he said, let's talk about our lives. And he put this all on a reel-to-reel tape. And they just... And he started, so he sort of, you know, led the way telling stories about himself, very personal stories. And that opened a floodgate of memories from these young singers and dancers. And those stories became verbatim the show itself. And it is, you know, it's the stuff of legend. John Braulio had those tapes, which have never been heard before, sort of locked in a vault. And when we heard that would be available to us, you know, it was incredible. And, you know, it starts off with Bennett saying, you know, I just want to talk about, you know, your lives. I think were pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's anything in it. I don't know if it's a movie. I don't know what it is. I just know it would be called A Chorus Line.
And I got
chills when I heard that.
He had the title from the beginning. Of course, there was a lot in it. 12 Tony Award nominations, 9 Tony Awards, the Pulitzer Prize for Drama in 1976, a 15-year original run, a huge revival, and now a documentary about the making of the revival. But from your documentary, Every Little Step, we've got some tape of that original. This is reel-to-reel tape. Think of it, back in the 1970s, after midnight in a kind of a, I don't know, loft space in New York with Michael Bennett, director, choreographer, conceiver. And here he is off that reel-to-reel tape explaining to those gathered dancers and singers the idea for the show on one of those original tapes.
What it is a group like we are, came to New York from various places. We've been in Broadway shows. Like, I want to tape it because what I want to do is really like an interview. It's really about examining a group of people in the society.
Michael Bennett in 1974, off the original tapes that were then kind of cut and spliced and scripts taken out of them and morphed into the show A Chorus Line. Adam Del Deo, we know those stories from what ended up in the original. We learned a lot more about them in your documentary, but what impressed me was the kind of something about the eternal staying power of this story of actors, singers, dancers struggling to make it into a show. I mean, what is it that makes it so timeless?
Well, I think the idea of struggling and working hard to achieve one's goals, that really is a universal theme. Specifically, in our movie, we're dealing with dancers and performers on Broadway. But I think, you know, what's been so interesting about the movie, screening the movie for Jim and I, is that not only have true Broadway aficionados and Chorus Line insiders love the show, but also people that aren't so familiar with A Chorus Line, you know, that have come to see it at the Toronto Film Festival or the Berlin Film Festival or even Abu Dhabi, of all places, at the Middle East Film Festival. That idea of loving something and believing in it so much that you need to do that to feel that your life is meaningful and you're doing what you've been put on this earth to do. It really is a universal, powerful theme.
There was a confessional readiness in the original crew that Michael Bennett put together when he did that tape. That was still at work, Jim Stern, here. I mean, you brought your cameras and your microphones, and these young singers and dancers, they were quite ready, at least it looks from the documentary, to be filmed in the process of their often agonizing over many months audition for the final round.
Well, one of the things that's supposed to be advantageous about doing a documentary on performers is that they are, in fact, performers.
Right.
And so they're used to talking in front of cameras, and they're also, I count myself as part of all this. You know, we're talkers. So we tend to leave it out there. We're not tight-lipped athletes, for example.
Right.
So so there is something about that, I guess, that made our job a little bit easier. But we shot over 400 hours, between 400 and 500 hours of footage. So in order to get A, that comfort level, and B, that access, you really have to shoot and shoot and shoot.
James Stern, Adam Del Deo, a co-director and producer of the new documentary, Every Little Step. Please stand by. Listeners, you can join the conversation. Is this your life, auditioning and auditioning and hoping and praying? Do you live it? Can you imagine it? Did you see a chorus line? Can you imagine it for real? We're at 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Here's Music and the Mirror from a Chorus Line. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
I'm watching Cisco pitter-pat. Said, I can do that. I can do that.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about a new documentary on the Broadway revival of A Chorus Line and the backstory of the real performers dancing and singing and struggling to make it through auditions, struggling to make the final cut. They're looking for that one singular sensation in the new film, Every Little Step. Co-director and co-producer James Stern and Adam Del Deo join us today. They put it together into a remarkable backstory. We're going to be joined in just a couple of minutes by Bjork Lee, actress, director, choreographer. She created the role of Connie in the original production of A Chorus Line. She was choreographer for the 2006 revival of A Chorus Line depicted in Every Little Step. You can join the conversation. What do you think? Can you imagine what it takes to make it from the 3,000 auditioning dancers and singers to the final cut of 17? What keeps a performer going through all those trials? And what are your Chorus Line memories? Did you see it on Broadway, dance it in high school? Can you imagine slashing your way through 3,000 to make it into that show? You can join us at 800-423-8255, 800-423-3TALK. Here's a little sound of the sometimes often painful process. This is from Every Little Step, the documentary, of winnowing down that pool of thousands to a cast of 17.
I just want to thank you all for coming today. We're doing the first elimination down.
So if I call your name, we're going to do the ballet.
Brian, Chris Plink, Eric, Cornelius, and Seth.
Of the ladies that just went in, you're all excused. Thank you very much. You've been cut. Can you please get out?
We just made a cut. So, and I'm still here. So I survived.
You've been cut. Can you please get out? And we're talking about lots and lots of performers kind of out on their ear. It's a bloodbath getting from 3,000 to 17. And before the triumph comes, there is a lot of tears and disappointment. You can join us, 800-423-TALK. Jackie is calling from Boston. Hi, Jackie. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Okay.
I wanted to say that A Chorus Line was the very first play that I ever saw. I was in eighth grade, and I'm a native New Yorker living in Boston. And it had a profound impact on my life then and continues to today. It's my all-time favorite cast album, and I listen to it at least once or twice a week. I think that it tells a universal story, and I think in the way that Rent is today's generation's chorus line, that a chorus line was the it for us, and that it, for those of us who are artists, I'm a writer, it's a hard road, you know, that you want to be committed to your art, and you have other things you have to do, like pay your rent, and you need some form of inspiration to keep you going, and the music of a chorus line and its overall story has been that for me for more than 20-plus years.
That's great for you, for people who are performers, I think in many ways for people just in life, and that's an interesting kind of shadow over this whole thing. I mean, in some ways, life is one big long audition with lots of cuts. Jackie, thanks. Don in Norfolk, Massachusetts, you're on the air, Don.
Yes, hello. I'm a professional classical musician, actually, in the Boston area. I certainly have my share of audition woes and personal struggles and feelings that I could share if you wanted me to. I was calling today because my wife comes from a professional musical theater background. She graduated Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, which has always had a really great musical theater program. And she was in New York for years trying to make it on Broadway. She got as far as Broadway national tours. But the audition process was just so brutal. It came to a point where it was easier for her not to be involved in it and to leave the business, actually, than to keep on slogging through it. I mean, she'd talk about getting up at 4 in the morning to go to the venue to just get a number, and then she'd go back home and shower and come back, only to have them line a whole bunch of people up, and based on sheer physical looks alone, you, and you. The rest, thank you very much.
You're cut, get out. She knows it personally. And we see that again and again in every little step, Don. I'm with your wife. It looked pretty brutal to me. Let me get one more right here. Ottawa, Ontario in Canada. Richard, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm also a classical musician, and maybe you'll be hearing from a few classical musicians because when we're talking about...
You know the drill.
We're talking about 3,000 people being eliminated at a typical audition, not even counting something like the Boston Symphony, where it's the pinnacle of the profession, but even in some of the middle-range orchestras, you will routinely have upwards of 200 people showing up who maybe will get 3 or 4 minutes to show what they can do before also being cut, maybe for a total of remaining 15 people, and then finally they winnow it down. But the reason I'm calling is because I find I do a lot of coaching of young musicians. In fact, I used to work at the New England Conservatory right in Boston, but a lot of the... I wouldn't say misconception, but a concern that I always encounter in young performers is, what do I have to do to succeed at the audition, or at least to play in an optimal fashion?
Sure.
And people are very often of the, or they have this conception that there's something I need to do in the audition. And I wonder if it's the same thing for dancers and people in musical theater, in that it's not about the audition. It's about how you relate to your discipline every single day. So, like for musicians, we would talk about, you know, the way in which you listen to what you're playing. How close does that resemble the mental image you have of what you want it to sound like? And by, you know, working either very, very slowly or with deep concentration,
right,
listening carefully to what's coming out, you become so focused on that, in effect, even if you're in front of an audition jury or if you're in front of an audience of 5,000 people or if you're playing at the Esplanade or what have you, it doesn't matter anymore. You are so focused on what you need to do
right,
to make your playing so vital that kind of the audition becomes ancillary to your experience as a musician. I wonder if...
Richard, we feel you coming right out of that world and the intensity it takes, and maybe that is a fundamental question. Let me put it to Byrick Lee, who's with us, Jim, Adam, shall we? And hear a little bit from your documentary, Every Little Step, of what the performers themselves were saying along the way. Here's a little montage of some winnowed out of those 3,000 talking about what it's like to be a performer going through the audition process.
3,000 people auditioned for the show. How many
people? It's a question of letting yourself fly.
I was up against my closest friend.
It's hard.
This is the tough part.
They made a cut. Unfortunately, I didn't make it.
I got a call back.
But I'll be happy either way. Yeah, either way.
I'll be happy either way. Not. Byrick Lee joins us right now. She was choreographer for the 2006 revival of A Chorus Line depicted in Every Little Step. She created the role of Connie in the original production of A Chorus Line. Byrick Lee, thank you very much for being here.
Hello, Tom.
Thanks for having me.
It's great. I know you from Jim and Adam's documentary. You are fierce. I mean, you put these people through paces. Eat nails, you keep saying to all these young, wonderful dancers and singers trying out. I mean, they say it's brutal. I mean, you're inspiring here, but you also, I guess, of necessity are very tough. You've got a lot to winnow.
Yes, I do. And also, you know, I've been through it myself. I used to go to auditions. I was a dancer, singer, actress, and I would do exactly what that man just said, you know, get up early, get a number. But even before that, back in the 50s and the 60s, you didn't even have numbers. You know, they would just come out in the hallway and eliminate you. So I've seen the process of, you know, it's gotten better. At least you get a number now.
And what do you say to our caller's question, Richard, in Canada, saying, you know, is it about doing something special to audition, if you know, the sort of audition technique, or about the discipline of the art, the performance every single day, all those hours of practice?
Yes, and that in simple terms, it's called be prepared. Be prepared to do anything that they ask you to do, which means you have gone to a dance class, dance classes, acting classes, singing lessons, everything. You are there like a nun. And then when you come in, you show us your wares.
And everything gets seen. There's no hiding it. Jim Stern, you know this world extremely well from all kinds of shows that you've produced. What did you learn in turning the cameras so intimately on this process?
Well, I do, and I think that you know, there's two things. Thais DiOrio, who we show auditioning, you know, says, and it's a little bit comical from our perspective, but there's a lot of truth in it. He says, you know, that it's not their show in there, it's my show.
Talented dancer who's super confident, but says he doesn't care what they decide in the end. He says that. It's his show.
He says that. Yeah, exactly. It's, you know. But the point of this story is that if you actually look, there's some people who think, you know what, I may only get to perform 2 or 3 minutes in a day or in 3 days, and I'm going to take the time. At least I'm performing for somebody. At least I'm performing for, you know, whether it's, you know, it's Bjork or whoever it is, I'm performing for somebody. If you can have that attitude, I think that you're better situated to get a role, because there's a way in which you're going to be looser and more, you know, of yourself. And I think that that's a real key. It's, you know, Bjork is absolutely right, be prepared, but it's also just to let yourself come through, because at the end of the day, it may simply be that, you know, Bjork or myself want someone who's 5'8" and you're 5'7", and there's nothing you can do about it. But if you're at least if you're in the game and you let your personality come through, you have a better shot.
But Bjork Lee, here's this one wonderful dancer trying out, Thais DiOrio, depicted in the documentary. He's incredibly talented. He's incredibly confident. And he's doing it for himself, he says. And in the end, he doesn't make it. And the comment, as I heard it from one of the producers, directors, the crew sorting all this out, was that he's a little too caught up in himself, Bjork.
Yes, his ego got out of control. And when you saw him dancing with the other three boys who were up for the same role, he decided not to do the choreography. He was going to do his own choreography. And that doesn't work with this particular show. You have to dance as one. And so he lost out because of that. He went just a little too far.
Let's hear a little bit of the advice that the Revival's director, Bob Avien, gave in a final talk. This is when we're right down to really getting down to last rounds of audition at the production's last callbacks.
When you're standing on the stage and you're dancing and we're checking you out, take that nervousness on board. Use it. Use it as actors. And don't be afraid of it. Let it put you in the right place, because that's what's going on today. Okay? And I thank you all for being here. You did great. I've got my fingers crossed for all of you. All right, thanks everybody, and good luck, okay?
Thank you.
From the documentary Every Little Step, and of course it sounds like great advice. Use that nervousness, don't be afraid of it. But I have to say, watching this, it also sounded, I mean, it's very good advice, but it's also way too easy. My gosh, everything was cranked up to incredible tension. Let's get a call from Virginia Beach, Virginia, and Bill. Bill, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to say thanks for running the show, and I just wanted to say that, can you talk a little bit about the family the quality of the family of the Chorus Line group. I mean, once performers get together, they sort of create a dynamic beyond just the show.
And do you mean in the original or the revival or at any show, Bill?
Well, all of the above, especially Chorus Line, because it talks about artists, and it came out at a time when, you know, art was even a little less glamorous than it is now.
Yeah. Byrick Lee, what about it? The family.
Well,
I mean, part of it is just getting into the family, but then...
Yeah. Well, you do bond, because Chorus Line, there is a process that you have to go through, that everyone goes through, and that is a 45-minute physical warm-up, which is like a Chorus Line boot camp. So you all go through those physical aches and pains. And then you go through the process of learning the Michael Bennett style, which is very, very angular, very, very low. And you've got to eat nails. So that's, you know, the physical process. Then you have to go through learning the score with the musical director. And you're doing your solos, you're learning harmonies, and then you go to the director and you go through the process of breaking down your character and going, you know, having character study. So it's an entire process that you go through for 4 weeks or 6 weeks, and you do bond, and you make some of your best friends.
Byrick, what did you mean by eat nails, which you were sort of... what?
Have you ever had the image of a bulldog with nails in his mouth?
But when you're shouting that almost gleefully at these performers, eat nails, what are they supposed to, what do you mean, like dig down, give it everything,
get down,
be fierce?
Get earthy, gnaw at it, grab it, like a bulldog.
Adam,
oh, yes, and that's Michael Bennett's style. There's other styles that you wouldn't even say that.
Adam Del Deo, I'm not a dancer. I don't think you're a dancer. Could you have imagined being out there, what these amazing young performers were doing in trying to get into this show?
You know, it was really amazing to be part of making this film. I mean, to watch these dancers, you know, as Byrick mentioned a bit ago, that so much of what this is about is coming in and being prepared, taking the proper classes, putting the time in to enhance yourself to a level that you're competitive. But what they need to do to take those classes is they also have to have the money to pay for them. And so not only are they going through the process of practicing and auditioning, but they also have to figure out a way to pay their rent and to pay for these classes. And so most of these people have jobs. They have to wait tables. They have to work at night if they aren't being hired. But what was so awesome is seeing the 3,000 people that did this every day, because they love what they do so much. And, you know, what Jim and I talked about in making this film is really what Michael Bennett had talked about in creating the show, that we wanted to give this process and give these lives tremendous respect and dignity. And that's what Michael Bennett had done 30 years before. I mean, I can't tell you just how blown away I am, even when you know, Jim and I have been screening the film quite a bit as of late, and every time we're in there watching it, just to see the dedication and the love that these people have for this profession is really extraordinary.
It is pretty astounding. I want to put one other kind of tape on the table here for a second before we take a break and come back to contrast and compare. Americans are judging all the time these days about performance. For example, American Idol. 8th season still attracts millions of viewers. Let's listen.
Tonight, your top four will take on a new genre, a new mentor, and get another shot at becoming a star. This is Rock Week. And this is American Idol.
Jim Stern, we're going to take a break, but in a word before we go, any comparison between what goes on in that sort of mass judging and what went on in the revival of Chorus Line?
Well, a Chorus Line is sort of the antithesis of American Idol, which is, you know, operates on kind of the American mythology of you can become an instant star. And a Chorus Line, you know, these young performers work their whole lives for a chance to be you know, in the chorus. And they would rather give up, you know, a meal than a dance class. And the next day, if they don't make it, they're going to go right back.
Yeah.
I think that's a very different, you know, that's very different.
It's a discipline, and it's forever. We'll come back and talk about that. We'll go out with At the Ballet. We're talking about the wonderful new documentary, Every Little Step. Co-producer, co-director James Stern and Adam Del Deo are with us. Byrick Lee is with us from the original Chorus Line. You can join us, 800-423-8255. This is On Point.
Everyone is beautiful at the ballet.
From singular sensation and point and point and point, flick, step, kick, step, change, continuing, walk.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about a new documentary on the Broadway revival of the smash hit A Chorus Line. But the backstory of the real performers dancing and singing and struggling to make it through auditions, struggling to make the final cut. That is, more or less, the story of A Chorus Line itself. It's also the real-life story of the new documentary, Every Little Step, looking at all those dancers and singers, 3,000 who initially showed up for the revival. 2005, the revival went on in 2006. You can join the conversation. Is this your life? Auditioning and auditioning and hoping and praying. Have American Idol and Dancing with the Stars made us all judges now, or would-be performers? And what's your question for Bjork Lee of the original Chorus Line and the revival with us today? What's your question for the co-producer and director of Every Little Step, James Stern and Adam Del Deo, also joining us right here, right now? It's really, I mean, as drama, Chorus Line, of course, was a tremendous success. This documentary really takes it to another plane, and it's wonderful. Let's go to Shelby calling from Boston. Shelby, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thank you to Adam and James for making this incredible documentary, which I've seen and plan to see again today.
Thank you.
I thought Natasha in the film got it right, where she's, we see her in the car or in the cab after she's not made the cut, and she says, well, you know, it's hard, but you grow through this, and despite the difficulties, that's been my experience as an actor. That's one of the first cuts you make. How are you going to deal with the rejection? So it's a metaphor for life in that sense. My question, one of my questions is, how difficult was it to get Equity to agree to let you film the auditions? Because that was very moving when the auditioners start crying. Okay, you know you've got them if you can get the auditioners moved. And, of course, you give Equity a credit right up front.
Yeah, of course, the Actors Guild or union there, was that a problem?
It was a process. Actors Equity had never allowed cameras to be involved in the audition process before. And so, you know, rightfully so, Equity is a great union, and they wanted to make sure that if they were going to allow this, that it was going to be treated, that the process was going to be treated with respect and dignity. And, you know, for Jim and I, that was not a problem. That was our intent from the outset. So it was a series of conversations. John Braulio originally had the first conversation, and then Jim and I were then woven into the talks. And at the time, I think it was Alan Eisenberg and Ken Greenwood is who we dealt with. And, you know, they agreed to let us do it, and we're thankful for that.
Shelby, stick with us for a second here. We've got one of those moments where there are real tears here. I mean, there are literally thousands of performers who are just, you know, told, hey, you didn't make the cut, get out. It gets more intimate than that, where performers that the crew who's making all the decisions here know over time and have to say no to them. Sometimes it's just, you know, a couple of rolled eyes and everybody knows they're done. But there's one part. This is the Jason Tam trying out for the part of Paul. This is a shy actor who eventually tells the story of coming to terms with his homosexuality. His parents come to New York. This is in the original Chorus Line, and find him dancing, performing in drag, and it's a kind of very emotional moment for him, for his parents. There's so much of his personal life put out there, and there's quite a monologue. And the audition is filmed here, and it is riveting. Everybody knows that he's going to be in, but not just that. I mean, he blows the panel away. They end up in tears. Here's just a little bit of the last a bit of the monologue from Jason Tam trying out for Paul.
My father turned to the producer and he said, take care of my son. That's the first time he ever called me that. Sorry.
Jim Stern, that was quite a moment in the film and in the auditions. I've never been privy to a moment quite like that. Wow. And it was a done deal.
Yes, it was. And it was, you know, you have to be there and present as a documentary filmmaker to get that kind of documentary lightning in a bottle. So that's part of shooting 400 or 450 hours or whatever we shot. You know, it's an extraordinary moment, and it's extraordinary that we captured it. It's also interesting that, you know, you have to really try and sink into the background, especially, you know, whenever you're making a documentary, but certainly in this sort of thing. You don't want to put, you know, more pressure on these performers than they feel, you know, by having to audition for Bjork. So you know, it's important that we stay in the background. We shot with several cameras so that we were able to get the reactions of the people behind the table as well as capture Jason's audition. So it was... It's documentary gold, but you really got to put in the time and the effort to you know, be present to get that gold.
It's definitely gold. Bjork Lee, you were choreographer of the revival, and there, right through these auditions, leading and cajoling and eating nails with these folks right through it. But you were privy to a lot of the decisions made by the folks behind the table, watching the auditioners. Give us a sense of what the communication is like. I mean, at a certain point, you're having to cut people wholesale, but when it starts to get down, to finer decisions between two or three or four incredibly qualified people, how does that conversation go? The communication, sometimes not even in words, between the crew that's deciding.
Well, you know, this is about being a triple threat: singing, dancing, and acting, mm-hmm. and they're judged on every single account. And when it really gets down to the nitty-gritty, you have to pull all of those forces and say, how did she perform? How did she sing, you know? And it's very, very difficult because then your personal opinions come into play. And in the end, you know, it's Bob Avian, the director, and the producer. There was a moment when... The girl who was chosen to play my life that I didn't agree with originally, and they hired her, and rightfully so, and they told me why. And
you're talking when you say your life, you're talking about the role of Connie, which you originally played as the too short Asian girl in the original A Chorus Line.
Yes, but they were casting on the character that I created in 1975,
right.
And I was casting on the person in 2009.
So in a way, they were more tuned into what you had originally done. But
exactly.
But give us their thinking here, because it came down to these two wonderful singers, dancers, actresses, Yuka and Elaine.
Yes.
Elaine, I mean, just to be as sort of brutal as the folks behind the table are, Elaine maybe a little prettier, a little more put together, Yuka more physical, more earnestly there in herself. And how did they come down to the decision between these two?
Well, you know, there were several ladies that came in to audition for us.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, you know, who sang the best, who danced, who performed their monologue the most honest, and Yuka won.
They show the final cut there, and these two, they're friends. They're hugging off stage. They're both wonderful performances. Yuka's was just was more raw, more physical. At Adam Del Deo, when you looked at those performances on tape or later through all the editing, did you understand why they made the cut this way, Adam?
I did, and I also understood why Bjork was resisting it. I mean, to be, as she says in the film, she's casting herself. She had a very definitive idea of what that role was. I think she says in the movie to Bob Avian at a certain point, well, I'm glad you think I'm cute. I don't see myself that way. I'm a survivor. So I can see both sides of the fence. I think they made a great decision. And I can attest they still are friends. We just had the premiere a few weeks ago in New York at the Paris Theater. It was a great evening, and afterwards we went out, and it was Bjork, Yuka, and Elaine all at dinner. And so it's really neat to see that after all this, they truly can remain friends and yet still be very competitive.
Yes, but, and what was so wonderful was that Yuka left and Elaine came in and played the remaining of the show.
Oh, wow, so they both got a swing at it. That's great.
Yes.
But you were the choreographer of this revival by York, and you created the role of Connie in the original. I mean, it must have felt weird to be overruled by the director of the revival.
Well, in the beginning, but you know, it's about the show. It's about the product and what we are going to get. The thing was that I was casting a show, and I was not looking at it at a film point of view or what was going to be good for the film. I was casting the show, and but Bob Avian and John Braulio, they are the director and the producer, and they definitely, you know, had the right to override me.
Jim Stern, talk about this issue of honesty. I mean, there is there's highly refined skill at work here. This is complex dancing and challenging singing. Some incredibly, the high note, and which number is that you show them trying to hit over and over?
At the ballet.
I mean, oh my gosh, then the facial expressions as they tried to get it. But this sort of will-o'-the-wisp, but yet absolutely important facet of honesty as I don't know, set off against skill, Jim. When you watch these performers going for it down the home stretch, how did you feel those two being weighted? What is honesty? What does that mean?
Well, what's interesting about A Chorus Line is that it's all about honesty. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it was...
Yeah, bare your soul, tell it.
Absolutely. You know, Michael was... You know, Michael Bennett back in 1974, you know, was spending the summer watching the Watergate hearings and was really thinking about, you know, it's time for people to have to tell the truth. And so he constructs a show where people have to come, you know, forward with nothing in back of them but, you know, a mirror essentially and sort of tell the truth. So that gets, in terms of the audition process for the show itself, you need people who you feel are telling the truth. You need people who's, you know, who you feel are not performing. And one of the things that the faux director Zach, who's a stand-in for Bennett, says is I just want you to be yourself. And so, you know, we see that played out in the auditions for the show. And truthfully, if you go and you look at every little step, the people that you feel are performing the least are the ones who end up getting the role. That, and also, and again, I, you know, from my years on Broadway, the thing that you have to remember as somebody who casts shows is you need to have people who will be able to repeat performance 8 times a week. So that even though somebody might get it once, you know, and there's one girl who comes in and she's clearly the leading contender for the role of Sheila early on, and then ultimately does not get the role, what happens is she sort of blows up in the callbacks, and that, you know, raises the doubt in the casting people's minds that she may not be able to repeat performance 8 times a week, which is what Broadway is all about.
I have to say, as a layman, that quality of appearing that you're not acting. When you know that, of course, they are acting and have to repeat it, as you say, 8 times a week. It's so magic. It's, how do they do that? It's so honest and real, and yet it's performed. Let's get a call from East Haddam, Connecticut. Michael, you're on the air. Hello, Michael. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Tom. Hi, Bayork. How are you?
Hello.
It's Michael Price at the Goodspeed Bayork.
Oh, Michael Price. How are you?
Great. Good to hear your voice. Listen, I think that, you know, one of the things that should be brought out, and you're someone who has made it from one side of the table to the other side of the table, is that the pain that the actor or dancer goes through in the audition process and being cut is also felt on the other side of the table.
Yes.
And that those of us on the creative team have a great empathy for those who are being and who are trying their best in front of us.
That's absolutely right.
And it's a very very, very difficult process. And the difference between American Idol, where those judges are performers themselves and who are not the nicest people in the world.
They're cruel.
To the performer. We have a different point of view of those who are auditioning for us.
Yes, we want to give them the job. We want them to get the job.
It would be lovely, yeah.
We want them to be the best they can be.
There are incredible moments in here where this sort of nobody wants to deliver the news to a particular actor, dancer that they have affection for. Michael, you're spot on as depicted here anyway. I mean, Jim Stern, there are times when it's like, Who's going to, you know, drink from this cup? No one wants to. No one wants to have to deliver the bad news.
That's absolutely right. You know, you know, and again, I've cast many shows myself, and you are always, always, and Michael's completely correct here, you're always rooting for the people that are auditioning for you, and that, you know, and you have great empathy. I mean, you know that there has been, you know, people get a number, people are told to get out in a crowded room and everything else, and people have come from all over the country. I mean, the thing about Broadway is it operates today the way it did in the 20s. People come, they're inspired, they're informed by these shows. They come from all over the country for a chance to, you know, to be on the line. By the time they're 33, 34, 35 years old, they're on the downhill slide. They never make that much money in their careers, even when they are on top. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it truly is one of the last remaining pure forms where people are doing what they do for love. And it sounds Pollyannish, but it's absolutely right. And you have to, you know, your heart is you know, goes out to everyone who's, you know, who works so hard and who will give up a meal for a dance class. Yeah. And you know they are. And you know that if they don't get, you know, this job, they're going to be back the next day working, you know, so hard to try it again. And if you don't feel that way, then you're in the wrong business.
I'm going to get one more caller. I'm too greedy. It's late. Lon in Newport News, Virginia. We've only got half a minute, Lon, but I couldn't bear not to get you. You're a dancer. You've done it. What do you say?
Yes. Yeah, so, well, I'm a former dancer. Now I'm a college professor. I teach dance and musical theater. Of course, Lon was a major part of my professional career. It kept me afloat for a long time. It was also a major nemesis for a long time in my career.
Because?
It may have been one of the first auditions I went to in New York, and I banged my head against the wall trying to get that job for years and years and years, and was too short or too tall or too the wrong type or not the right type or all sorts of varieties.
Was it worth it? I asked myself, is it worth it? Was it worth it for you, Lon? Is it worth it for the people who go through this grueling process?
Absolutely. I wouldn't have traded it. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Wow.
It definitely made me the person I am today, going through the process of auditioning and being told over and over and over again, you're not enough, until you come back, and one day you are.
Wow.
One day you just happen to be in the right place at the right time.
Lon, I'm so glad for that testimony. You did it, and you say it's worth it. My, what a sacrifice. It's just incredible. Dramatically shown in A Chorus Line itself, and now shown in a terrific documentary about the making of the revival.
Thanks so much, Tom.
Every Little Step. It's just great. James Stern and Adam Del Deo, co-director and co-producer, thanks for this wonderful piece of film, and thanks for being with us today. I really appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for having us, Tom. Much appreciated.
It's great to have you. And by Berkeley, you've been blowing people's minds for a long time and now having them eat nails. It's something to see you at work. It was on stage and it was behind stage. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Bye, Adam, Jim.
Bye, Berk.
We'll go out with What I Did for Love. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
What I did for